You'll notice that I'm actually standing down here as opposed to up there, particularly for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't know, standing up there, it's scarier for me, and I'd hope that you'll accept that. But the second thing is that I'm about 30 feet away from the nearest person if I'm standing up there, and I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching at you about song leading, but rather talking to you and encouraging and admonishing as best I can with regard to the things we have to talk about. I've got to talk fast this afternoon because I've only got 2 hours, which is another limitation. I talked to Sam and said, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be able to say in 2 hours is going to be able to make a difference in the long run as far as helping song leaders to have that foundation that you really need in order to do a great job. But what I'm going to do is actually surrender my second hour to you all, gentlemen who are interested in song leading, who feel like that you could serve the congregation where you are, as the title of the lectureship goes, in that capacity, and you just like some pointers, some help. We're not going to do this in a mean way. I'm not out to make anybody cry, and if you do start crying, I'm probably going to apologize profusely, but that's not my aim, okay? So please understand that. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. My goal here today is to make you sharper for service and song leading. And I hope that you realize that, and if you'd like to do that, we're going to take just a break between the lecture portion of this lesson, and then the second half is, or the second three quarters, we'll say, is going to be devoted to you all stepping up in the pulpit, announcing your song number, and leading one verse plus a measure of a song. So that is, you sing through the verse, one song that you feel like you do well, or maybe one song you'd like to sing. Sing through that first verse, and then come back and pick up on another verse, and we'll stop there and just kind of give you some pointers here and there. So if you'd like to do that, if you feel comfortable enough to do that, again, we're not out to hurt feelings or anything like that, but just to try and encourage song leaders throughout the brotherhood, and I hope that that's accomplished this afternoon. Does everybody have a copy of this booklet? Anybody need one? All right, I've got a couple down here in front. This is a amended booklet from what I use for the Southwest School of Bible Studies and helping to kind of give them some instruction. Just a couple right down here, Sam. And feel free to take this home. And if you're not a song leader or you don't feel like this is necessarily for you, go and take it home to your home congregation and give it to somebody that you feel like has that talent. Give them some encouragement and help them along so that we can foster great song leading and certainly to the praise and glory of God. As we begin this afternoon, I'd like you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute and think of a song leader that you really admire the way that they lead songs. You can do it with your eyes open if you like, but I want you to really think about somebody that maybe a guest speaker who's come and led, or a guest song leader rather, or maybe a song leader there in your local congregation where you attend. Maybe somebody that you've only heard on a recording, but you think about that person and you think about, wow, I really appreciate the way that person leads songs. I really appreciate the way that they, fill in the blank. Again, this is you. If you're comfortable with it, would you please shout out and let me know what are some of the qualities of that person that you see? You can tell me who it is if you want. I'm not fishing. I'm just interested in hearing. Yes, sir, Mr. Talley. All right, what's the quality? Okay, really good at singing, know what you have to do. All right, if you can narrow it down, be a little more specific, that'd be helpful. Edmund, yes, sir. Okay, speaking loudly, all right, as well as in the song leading. What else? What's another quality? What's another characteristic of the person that you thought about? Yes, ma'am.
On pitch.
On pitch. All right, what else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, reading music. Somebody that may be able to look at a song and to know the different parts. Okay, what else? Yes, ma'am.
Smiles.
Okay, smiles. Why is that important? Makes you happy when you're singing. Energetic. Okay, all right. Enthusiasm, right? What else? Yes, ma'am. Don't be shy. Okay, maybe uses the conducting pattern. We'll talk about the importance of that here in just a few minutes. But you've got an idea of what a good song leader looks like, right? At least in your mind, you've got an idea of somebody that's going to be able to help the song service, not let the song service revolve around them, but to help it along. You have an idea of what that looks like. Folks, consider that the outward display or the outward emotion that you see in a good song leader comes from who that person is on the inside and their relationship with God. I just thought about this from a biblical perspective, first of all, before I began to prepare these remarks. You ever think about some of the song leaders that we have in Scripture that are given there? You ever think about what they would have been like to, if they were to come here today in the 21st century and lead our worship? How about David? I understand he was under a different covenant, but you think about David and all the wonderful psalms that he wrote. What do you think the qualities and the characteristics of David would be that he would convey? Maybe enthusiasm? Maybe great emotion? Maybe great respect for the words that he was singing? Think about somebody like Deborah and Barak, who sang that wonderful song there in Judges chapter 5, right? That leadership aspect, that motivating quality that Deborah and Barak sang about the leaders of Israel standing up and leading and the people following. You think about Moses. We have the song of Moses there in Exodus chapter 15. Once they came through the Red Sea, you remember, and Moses sang this song of praise to the Lord, or led Israel in this praise to the Lord, right? And you think about Moses and his Psalm 90. We've got a recorded word. You think about the depth of that and the relationship and the emotion that went into that. There's a humility there that Moses has. Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 14. I kind of wonder there when Paul and Silas were beaten and put in the stocks in the innermost prison, you remember? And ultimately they sat there, and at midnight, what were they doing? They were singing psalms. What songs do you suppose they were singing? That'd be a good lesson for you to preach, preachers. What song would Paul and Silas have been singing? We don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, but we do know that those people in that prison paid attention. We do know that they were listening to Paul and Silas there at midnight. It wasn't just something, but you think about them singing and being edifying, being encouraging. What about Jesus? Think Jesus ever led songs? I kind of wonder about that whenever you talk about Jesus in the book of Matthew, there before he went out to the garden. Remember after the Last Supper? And he went out there to the garden, but before he did, the Bible says that he and his disciples sang a hymn. I kind of wonder who led that. I kind of wonder again what song they were singing. But we know one thing about Jesus more than anything else, folks. He was out to please the Father. And I think all of those characteristics that you look at, somebody that's motivational or humble and edifying and encouraging and enthusiastic and thoughtful like David was and wholehearted, and somebody that ultimately wants to please the Father, that's the heart of the person that God wants to lead His praises. I'm convinced of that. And when you have that in place, folks, we don't have to worry so much about the other things, because that person's going to want to do the best job that they possibly can, ultimately to the glory of God. Equipping for service, when we talk about song leading, and when we talk about equipping song leaders, again, I'm not going to be able to give you a magic potion to make you immediately a great song leader. But again, as we talk about some of these characteristics and some of these qualities, hopefully it's going to become apparent that there is a goal in mind. There's something that we're reaching for. And as we build, just the same way as we would build a house, there's some things that have to be set in place first before that. Ultimately, number one, we have to establish that goal. The goal is, or the question is, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And number one, I feel, folks, that we have to ultimately, as worshipers, make sure that we're prepared for worship, especially in song. Think about this from this aspect. Sometimes we get up in the morning, and sometimes we go into worship, and sometimes we don't really consider what it is that we're going to do. Sometimes maybe it is young people, especially, we stay up way too late on Saturday nights. We get to worship on bleary-eyed on Sunday morning. Maybe it is that we slept in through Bible class. I hope that's not the case. But we get to that worship service, and we're just sitting there kind of going through the motions. We let our brain shift into neutral as we sing wonderful words of life because we've sung it all our lives, and we don't really think about what it is that we're doing. Folks, what aspect does the Bible say that we don't have to be prepared in for worship? Think about this. Bible says that we are to give as we have been prospered. Folks, that demands forethought, doesn't it? It demands me going home and sitting down on my finances and seeing how the Lord has prospered me that week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and talk about giving cheerfully, willingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. You remember that? All of those things, when we give, requires us to think ahead before we come into worship. What about prayers? Jesus would talk about bringing our gifts before the altar in Matthew chapter 5 and said that when we come and we bring those things to the altar and there we remember that somebody has something against us or we have something against somebody, we leave our gift, we go and we make that right. Why is the problem? Well, the problem is, folks, I've got to be sure that I think ahead of time and prepare for that aspect of worship. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 would say that husbands need to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, as heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. My prayers can be hindered? Absolutely. Folks, we've got to make sure that we have right relationships before we go and offer something to God in worship. What about the Lord's Supper? That's an easy one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, at least in San Marcos, is read almost on a weekly basis to remind us, folks, that let a man so examine himself as he partakes, lest he render that vain worship, right? We've got to think about the Lord's Supper. We've got to prepare for that. Preaching, absolutely. Preparing our hearts to hear the Word of God. We expect that our preacher is going to stand up there and he's going to do an adequate job and he's somebody that's got the sermon and he's preaching from the overflow as you kind of hear some preachers and teachers talk about it. Absolutely. We want that. We want to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God, but we want to make sure that man is prepared. What about singing? Is there any biblical command to be prepared to sing? Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 talks about us offering the sacrifice of the praise of our lips to God. We've got to make sure, folks, that we are prepared. We've got that prepared heart, and we've got to be prepared to sing and edify, to encourage, to uplift. Folks, everything we do in worship requires preparation. I hope if you don't get anything else out of this lesson that you get that. We don't come idly into the presence of God. We shouldn't come haphazardly into the presence of God because we're coming before God to say, God, you mean this much to me. Thank you, God, for all that you've done, for all that you are, for all that you're going to do. God, I give you these gifts because you're worthy. That's the reason why we come into worship. And if we miss that, if we just get to the point where it's just going through the motions, well, we got to go through a prayer. Well, we got to go through two more songs. Well, we got to go through a scripture reading. Well, we got to sit through 30, 45, 50 minutes if you're in San Marcos, Texas, as the sermon. And ultimately, we're out the door so we can get to the buffet before those folks down the road. Right? Then we've missed it. It is a glorious, a wonderful thing to come before God and worship, and certainly in the song service. We do that because we want to be prepared for worship. But ultimately, what's the end result? The end result is that we uplift, that God is glorified. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, right? Verse 17 particularly, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That verse that's attached right to it beforehand talks about our singing in worship, or talks about our song service. We have to make sure ultimately who is that we're trying to please as singers, as song leaders, as worshipers. We need to make sure that our relationship vertically with God is right first. The second thing we want our song service to do is we want the song service to edify the church. Think about the two major verses that we use every time we get into a discussion with somebody about non-vocal mechanical instruments of music, right? We talk about Colossians 3, 16 and 17 and Ephesians 5, 19. And both of those verses are great to talk about the fact that we do not use any man-made instruments in worship, right? But when you look at those words that it uses, it talks about teaching. It talks about admonishing one another. It talks about speaking to yourselves. You ever think about this? That when we lead singing or when we sing, as much as we're singing to God, folks, we're singing to one another. It's hard to do that sometimes because usually what you're looking at is the back of somebody's head in front of you, right? When you're sitting there in the pews. But we are singing to one another. I'm singing to Caroline just as much as she's singing to me. I'm singing to Clay just as much as he's singing to me. I want to know, Clay, is thy heart right with God? Clay, are you building on that foundation that's never going to fail? I want to know, and I want to make sure, and I want to edify in that way. Folks, that's the reason why we sing and worship. That's one of the reasons. We want to make sure that we are singing to one another, we were encouraging one another, and admonishing one another, because that's what our song service is designed to do. It glorifies God, yes, absolutely. We offer those gifts before God, singing, Worthy art thou. But we also sing, Is thy heart right with God? To those people that are sitting here in the pews with us. Ultimately, number three, What's the goal? That the lost may know God is truly among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I recognize that this is pulling this passage out of the immediate context. The immediate context is talking about the spiritual gifts, particularly the gifts of tongues. And he's talking about the gift of tongues being there and ultimately being assigned to the unbeliever. That is, when the secrets of their heart may reveal, they may fall down upon their face and glorify God, and the lost may truly know that God is among you. But did you ever think about that from this aspect? A couple of verses earlier, he talks about singing with the Spirit, singing with the understanding. You ever bring a non-Christian into the worship? What's some of the things that they're impressed with? I guarantee you the top two. The first one's probably going to be the preaching. I've never heard somebody use that much Bible. I've never heard somebody that was so committed to preaching the Word of God. I've never heard a lesson like that that came straight from the Word of God. I could just see it. I could follow along. The second thing that invariably, folks, impresses people is the a cappella worship of the church. I remember years ago, I brought a non-Christian lady. She was Catholic, and she came into the assembly with me, and we sat in a congregation of about 800 people. And she was amazed. She was blown away that just voices could sound like that. That voices could worship and praise God in a way that their organ and their orchestra could never do. And she was blown away by the fact that we were able to do that just as a band of God's people, and it was amazing to her. And she was saying, I just can't believe that. That's amazing. You ever have somebody say that to you about the worship of the church? Folks, when we appreciate that, what the song service is able to do, folks, I guarantee you, people are going to be impressed. But here's the question. What is it going to do if we get in and we sing sluggishly? What is it going to do if we get in and we're... Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Or, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I see some drooping heads, okay? Why? We say, yeah, I can sing. I can worship with that. But the question is, folks, is that more of a hindrance to us, or is it more of a help? And hence the need for a song leader. To be able to help, to have all those qualities that you just mentioned, to have the enthusiasm, to have the smiling, the motivation, the uplifting experience, the help that we so desperately need to wonder, folks, again, is Jesus your everything? Is he your all? Have you surrendered all to Jesus? All of those questions that we need to ask the same way as if we were preaching. Again, I don't want a preacher necessarily to stand up here and, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed? Right? What do we expect of our preacher? We expect that he's going to be able to communicate God's Word, and he's going to be able to communicate it effectively to the point where he is preaching to us. You can see the passion. You can see the emotion. You can see his thrill for souls wanting to come to a closer relationship with God. Folks, I would ask and I would admonish and say that there's not a whole lot of difference between that and a song leader. A song leader, the difference is that he's got his sermon written out for him. He's got the things, the words that he's to speak and the way that he's to speak them, and you've got them as well. And as you're singing to me, is thy heart right with God? And I'm singing to you, is your heart right with God? Folks, we should be singing that with passion and with understanding that I want you to be right with God as much as you want me to be right with God. You understand what I'm saying? Does this make it sense? Okay. Equipping for service. Why are we doing this? We want to try and be better song leaders because of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Whatever you want men to do to you, what is the rest of it? Anybody? Matthew 7, 12. Whatever you want men to do to you, what? Do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule, folks, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Folks, I want somebody that's going to help encourage me as a worshiper. I wanted somebody that's going to help encourage and uplift me as a worshiper. What does that mean as a song leader I'm going to have to do for them? I'm going to have to try and be encouraging. I'm going to try and have to be uplifting. Site preparation. As we lay the groundwork for a lifetime of song leading, as we talk about, I can't forget this. Sorry, I should I lit it. Effective song leading. Here's my definition. Effective song leading is somebody standing up in the pulpit and extending their hand in a personal invitation for the people there in the pews to come and glorify God together with us in song. What am I doing? With my voice, with my presence, with my conducting, I want to extend my hand to you and say, come on, let's go to God's house together. Let's praise Him. Let's give Him the glory to His name. You ever thought about your role like that as a song leader? That's what we're doing. Sometimes we get the idea that the person who's standing up in the pulpit is the one that's supposed to be entertaining us. We're sitting out here in the audience and he's up there on the stage. When it is, folks, in reality, that all of us are up here on the stage and there is but one in the audience. And that is God Almighty. And he's wondering, what have you brought for me today? I want to hear the song of your heart. I want to hear the praise from your lips. I want to hear what you're brought to me today, and I want to hear how much you mean to me, how much I mean to you. Understand what I'm saying? Folks, that's all of us standing up here and doing that job and giving that worship to God as He has commanded us to do. Please don't miss this definition. Okay, I'm going to come back and I'm going to refer to it again and again and again. All right? Site preparation. Again, just the same way as we are building a house, let's lay a groundwork for a lifetime of healthy song leading. What stays out of it? Let's ask that question first. First thing that stays out of it is ego. There was a man who said years ago, what preachers should do is start speaking and strive to hide in the shadow of the cross. I believe the same thing is true for song leaders. We start singing and we strive to let Jesus be glorified and let Christ be magnified. What must we have? We have to have a humble reverence for God and a humble acceptance of this role in worship. We've got American Idol just about on every single TV station. You ever notice that? There's always some kind of singing show so we can exalt the individual and how good of a singer they are. Well, you may have somebody that comes up to you after worship and says, wow, you know, you just did a great job song leading and you need to be the next American Idol, right? Maybe that's never happened to you, right? You have such a beautiful voice, you should lead every time we have worship. I think you should be our regular song leader. Well, thank you. Thank you. Right? What's your attitude? You could be doing that on the inside and still just say, oh, thank you. All right. It's okay to laugh. All right. I'm sorry. I'm a goofy person and hopefully you'll see that, but anyway. My favorite response is just, I enjoyed your singing. Okay. I appreciate what that person's saying to me. I appreciate what they're saying. Yeah, I appreciate how you led the song service today. You did a fine job. My favorite response to I appreciate your singing is, well, I appreciated yours too. Oh no, you didn't appreciate my singing. Yes, I did. Again, what's the purpose? The purpose is edification among us. I'm edified. The person standing in that pulpit is edified just as much as you in the pews are edified. So when you say, I appreciated your singing too, that's the best response. But the best response, absolute best, is just to let it go in one ear and out the other. Preachers begin speaking and they strive to hide in the shadow of the cross. Song leaders should do the same. We have to lose the ego when we get up to lead as much as possible. You have song leaders that will stand up there, that will tell stories about what a song service means to them or what a song particularly means to them. That's not the purpose. Don't draw attention to yourself like that. Song leader is a master of ceremonies of sorts, but he's not the self-designated entertainment for the hour. He keeps the worship service moving smoothly, but ultimately it's not his job to just be entertaining, okay, or to be entertaining at all. When we talk about novelties and distractions, I must have hit the button once too many. Novelties. How many of y'all know the song, I Stand in Awe of You, right? Anybody ever do the standing up in the chorus part? We're sitting down for the first half of the song, You Are Beautiful Beyond Description. And when you get to, and I stand, and you have the song that has everybody stand up, I kind of wonder, okay, well, does that mean if we're going to go back and sing it again, we need to sit back down and stand back up? Is this, you know, is it kind of choreographed? Why don't we do that for Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus, you know? Stand up for Jesus, right? I don't know. You just wonder about those things. Changing the order for the sake of changing the order, don't do that. Okay, adding extra songs that is going to throw off the preacher, throw off the song leader. Folks, again, accept the role humbly in worship and make sure that that Christ is magnified. Things that draw attention to self, this would be another one. There are several new songs that in the songbook, just about every songbook, we've got songs that we don't sing. You're a song leader, and you're going to pick a song for Sunday morning, then debut it that nobody this side of 1900 has heard. That's not okay. All right, why is that? Or you're going to lead song after song after song, folks that don't people don't know. Well, the focus of the worship has changed. We're no longer spending time looking at this and saying, I want to glorify God to the best of my ability, but let me get the right notes. At least that's me. Let me try and figure out the words. I haven't read through this text to see if it's scriptural or not. There are times and places to do those things. Certainly, absolutely, learn new songs. Absolutely as a song leader, absolutely as a singer. Have a fifth Wednesday singing or a third Sunday singing where you go into a little room and as a member of God people and encourage one another and help one another along so that, you know, we can sit down and say, okay, let's learn this new song. So next time when we lead it in worship or next time we sing it in worship, it's a little bit more familiar. There's nothing at all wrong with that. But Sunday worship is not the time to debut a song outside of the year 1900 is heard. What does go into it? Three things. And I'll draw your attention back to 2 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. Paul said, what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. He gives us three components there. The very first one of them is our mind with the understanding. I want to look at those words and I want to mean those words. Caution. Caution, folks. You ever think about the fact that we can become liars very easily by the words we sing, maybe sometimes with our brains in neutral? If I sing all to Jesus, I surrender, and I've got something that I'm unwilling to surrender, maybe something that's causing me to stumble, my hand, my foot, my eye, as Jesus would talk about, and I'm unwilling to give that up. Sometimes, folks, our cell phones, our mobile devices can be stumbling blocks to us. If I'm singing all to Jesus, I surrender, or, the gospel is for all, and I won't go across the street to invite my neighbor to a gospel service. Folks, we can become liars really easily by our song service. But our mind, I want to look at those words, and I want to make sure that I've got those, got that word down, and I want to make sure that this is something I'm meaning. The attitude, I will sing with the Spirit. That is, how do I view this responsibility? How do I come into worship? We can come into worship in a number of ways. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 would say, walk prudently, that is wisely, when you go into the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. You ever think some of our worship can be the sacrifice of fools because we haven't really given attention to how it is we've come into God's presence? Folks, if we don't spiritually prepare for worship, we're in danger of rendering that vain worship. Our body, our attitude. Keeping the right attitude, but ultimately, I will sing. What is that? That's the physical mechanism here. The body that God has given me, I'm going to use to His glory. I'm going to use to sing to Him. Again, make sure that you're ready, make sure you're prepared to go, and don't make excuses. I'm going to stand up on a soapbox, okay? Over here, this is one of my pet peeves. When you've got a song leader that comes into the pulpit, y'all have to forgive me this morning. I'm sorry, I'm under the weather. song number 963, right? I understand. Sometimes we're called upon to do the job. I understand sometimes we're called upon to lead, and we may not feel the best. When I was in singing school, or whenever I was getting my undergraduate degree in voice, one of the things they told us, when you're there to sing a recital, you do not make excuses. Why is that? Because already you're giving a person an opportunity to say, oh, what he's about to do there in the pulpit's not going to be good. What he's about to do now, I can just mentally check out because it's not going to be worth it, worth my time. Think about that with a preacher. Folks, again, you're giving somebody that may just be looking for that opportunity to check out an opportunity to check out. So my old voice teacher said, you know, the ones that know you and know who you are and love you and care about you, he said they're going to know. I've come up to you afterward, Andy, I hear that you have kind of like a frog in your throat. The allergies got you down, you know, you've got those problems. The rest of them are just really not going to care. They may not notice, they may not care. But again, nothing is helped by you standing up there and saying, y'all have to bear with me this morning. Okay? I want somebody that's going to help me and encourage me and edify me as a song leader, and I want to be able to provide that same thing, that same encouragement. But again, don't stand up and make excuses about the job that you're about to do. When you stand up in the pulpit, stand with all the confidence that you can. Let's praise God together and go. All right? Questions about that? If there's anything that's... I know this is lectureship. But please understand that I'm standing down here for the other reason, that it's slightly more informal now. And if there's anything that you have to ask about between now and then, please let me know. But otherwise, we'll just keep trucking on. So, third, what tools do I need to continue to build? Tools to possess. What's going to help me along the way? One of the things that's going to help you is voice lessons, vocal knowledge. These are the practical things. Again, when we talk about the preparation, the inside, the person, what's going to help me? There are good places to go around in the Metroplex here, or the city of Austin, city of San Marcos, or anywhere here in Central Texas, in the Central Texas corridor. There are good places, or places that you can go in and type in voice lessons. And usually what's happening is there's grad students or voice students that are looking to make an extra buck or two, and you can help or have them give you some pointers on good sounds to make. You can take a song to them and say, hey, could you listen to me on this? Sometimes what we need more than anything as song leaders is an extra set of ears. Gentlemen, if you're looking to become a full-time song leader, young men, your parents are going to be your best friends. Husbands, wives, your wives are going to be your best friends. Because I can go to my wife and I can say, honey, tell me how this sounds. Ah, well, it sounds a little nasal, okay? Just shift the sound a little bit back and meh. No, that's the other way. Go a different way, right? Because sometimes I can't hear those things on my own. And sometimes what I need more than anything is somebody to say, no, that doesn't sound the best, right? Again, think about iron sharpens iron. Honey, you always say that. No, she's doing it for you good. You went to her and you asked her, okay? You're looking at probably about $15, $30 a half hour, but I think it's money well spent. Again, what you're looking for is good sounds, and we'll talk about that here again in a little bit with time permitting. So, wow, is it already 2 o'clock? Mankind. All right. Familiarity with music. You don't have to learn to read everything in music, just as long as you're able to have a working familiarity with it. Being able to read shape notes is helpful. Being able to have a tool or a system to learn new songs, that's invaluable. Knowing what conducting pattern you're going to be using for each song, again, that's a great tool to have. There's a book called Rudiments of Music. It's by a man by the name of Michael Overholt. You can find it on Christian Light Publications. The book is about $5. But it's just a little floppy book. I think it's the one that Southwest used to use here. But again, that kind of gives you a good starting space. This one is free and it's worth every penny. So be sure to grab one for those of you that have come in late, and feel free to make use of that. Familiarity of music, you can look at it and you can know, okay, this is the right tune for this song, and that's helpful. Warm-up exercises. How many of you before you lead singing, gentlemen? Or ladies, you know, you got Ladies' Day or leading in a class. How many of y'all warm up before you preach or before you lead singing? Okay, a couple. Warming up is invaluable. Consider this illustration. I go into the gym and I'm about to deadlift my max, about 600 pounds, right? May not be. Are you awake? Hello? Thank you. All right. And I just go in there and I'm immediately, right? And then I pump it a couple times before I put it back down. What am I doing? I'm putting a tremendous strain on my muscles. I talk about this in my class at Southwest, but our vocal cords are just muscles too. Just the same way as our biceps or triceps or quads or anything else. The body is such an efficient machine that the body naturally minimizes blood flow to those body parts that we're not using on a regular basis. So think about this. Hopefully you're getting a good night's sleep on Sunday night or on Saturday night, right? You go to bed about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Hopefully you get a full 8 hours and are waking up in the morning. What's happened is your body is minimized that blood flow. And especially the vocal cords, you know, you get up and your body has minimized the blood flow to those vocal cords because you haven't been using them. And so I get out there and I grunt a good morning to mom and dad. I grunt a good morning to my wife. Right? And I get in the car. I'm not really saying a whole lot. Get dressed. Buckle your seatbelt. You ever sound like that in the morning sometimes? I sound like that all the time. Sorry. And you get into worship, and all of a sudden, 963. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, right? What you're doing, folks, is you're trying to deadlift your max without having properly warmed up. And over time, that you may not feel it that Sunday, but over time, you're going to start doing some damage. Until the time when your voice may become so weak that it may not necessarily work the way that you want it to. So what do you do? Well, when I wake up and whenever I immediately get to start getting in the shower, get to get things going, I just start humming just a little bit. Just something simple like that. Your voice is, vocal cords are muscles, but they're also kind of rubber bandy. All right? It's an amazing instrument. If you ever get an opportunity to study about the voice, there's no way that you can deny that there's a God whenever you look at the design of the voice. It is stretchy like a rubber band. So the more you stretch it and you have the different pitch, right? It's the exact same thing as the way your vocal cords work. Now, as I'm doing that, the more I stretch them, the more pliable, the more warm they're going to become. And the more helpful that is for me, so that way I know how my voice is feeling first thing in the morning. So when I get to sing the wondrous love of Jesus, we're ready to go. Right? I can stand in the pulpit with confidence, having that voice warm. Song number 963. Song number 963. Let's praise God together. Again, what am I doing? Here's my hand. Let's take it. Let's go worship. Right? And you all are ready? I wish I could get away with, you know, making congregations do warm-up exercises in the morning before worship, so that we could all have that sound and have that best sound. But I know that there's people that will do just in the scenario that I've just described. Those come into worship and not really think about what they're doing with their voice. And again, it takes them a little while to get warm. Recognizing that that's the case, let me step over here and talk about programming just for a minute. That first song that you sing may necessarily need to be not one of the big ones, but more one that's more reflective, one that'll help the congregation get in kind of a warm-up mindset. Two of my favorites, Off We Come Together. And the other one is, just slipped right out of my mind, True Worship. That's the same song, isn't it? Off We Come Together, and the other one will come to me. Think about this. Off We Come Together, off we sing and pray, may we what? Hello? Here we bring our offering on this holy day, right? Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee, right? We come together a lot. And sometimes it is that we come to worship with our brains in neutral. But the prayer of this song is, we don't want to do that today. We don't want to do that for this worship. We want to make sure our brains are engaged. We want to make sure our hearts are engaged. We want to make sure our bodies are engaged. But think about the melody of this song. It's not terribly difficult.
Oft we come together, oft we sing and pray.
This is a nice, if you will, warm-up exercise. And it's a great warm-up song because what you're doing is you're not stretching anybody to their max immediately. And His glory is exalted. Right? If I pull that one out, next thing you know, I got a soprano with their larynx coming out of their mouth. I don't want that. What I want is people to be able to reflect and think, here we are, we're coming into the presence of God, let's do so humbly, but you're also giving their body a great opportunity to kind of warm up if it hasn't already that morning. And so that's a great opportunity, a great warm-up exercise to do. When you do those body exercises, again, just stretching the shoulders and stretching the muscles of the rib cage, do some breathing, let that breath sink low. Take some nice deep breaths. Why is that? Because everything from here all the way down to here is what I'm going to be using for singing. I want my body to be ready for that. I want my body to be warm so that whenever I get up there, again, I feel good. And that is, I'm just going to have that much more reach so that I can stretch and invite you all to worship with me. Make sense? You know, okay, we're spacing out. We need to stand up and do some stretching. Let's try that just for a second. Stand up with me, please. Just getting some blank stares here. You can say that you went to the South Pole Exership and experienced something you never had before. All right, take a nice big stretch up, or you can stretch forward if you need to. All right, twist a little bit, but try not to hit your neighbor. Try not to. If you do, apologize. Ask for forgiveness. All right, roll your shoulders forward, big circles. And backwards. All right, cross your right over your left. And your left over your right. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take in a nice deep breath. Stand up nice and tall. Nice deep breath. We're going to drink it in through a straw for 8 counts. We're going to hold for 8 counts. We're going to release for 8 counts. Again, drink it in through a straw, hold it, and then release it. Here you are. 2, ready through a straw. Hold it. Somebody's got to leap. And release. One more time. We're drinking in for 8, we're holding it for 8, and we're releasing it for 8. 2, ready, go. Hold. And release. All right, last thing. Take a nice big yawn, have a seat.
You can yawn as you sit, it's fine. You combine the two activities.
All right. Question. Consider how you feel right now versus how you felt 3 minutes ago. Are you more awake? Are you more alert? How many of you are more awake? How many of your minds are engaged? Folks, the more alert the body is, the more alert the mind will be. One of the things my mom used to work with in a children's preschool, and she said some of the children, you know, that their minds are just like this, right? And you just can't get them to sit still for anything. If you just get them to do just a little simple activity, like touching the right hand to the left shoulder, left hand to the right shoulder, just something like this will take their minds from here, bring it right here. Something to consider, parents. I don't know if you've ever tried that. But here, son, grab your right earlobe, you know, grab your left. Now do some deep knee bends. And again, just a simple activity like that will help focus. But again, the more alert the body is, the more alert the mind will be. And so if we take that and we start off and we sing,
oft we come together.
Y'all sing that with me. Here we are.
Oft we come together. Oft we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord.
A nice, easy melody line, and you've got a nice, full and rich text, right? Something that we absolutely need to be thinking about and absolutely need to be concentrating on. But again, we're giving that voice an opportunity to get warm as we begin, and we're getting a chance to give our minds an opportunity to get warm as well. But warm-ups, excellent place to begin so that we're ready to go, especially as a song leader, that's important. Another tool, a pitch pipe. A pitch pipe is great for starting on pitch. For a singing four-part harmony, you got 4 different points. You got the altos or this melody line, which are generally the highest part. Right underneath that, you've got the altos, who usually sing harmony with the sopranos. So as the sopranos are going, usually the altos are going like this. They're down here, right? The bass parts, you have something similar. You have the bass who has the root, and they're the lowest note down here. And right above them, you have the tenors who are kind of doing their own thing. I like to consider the tenors kind of the extra note, because if you ever try to read a tenor part, it's difficult. And there's skilled song leaders and singers that have trouble with, right? You got these 4 parts. If I just sing where it's comfortable for me, here's where the song's written, say. Here's what I want to sing it, because this is where my voice is. What I've just done is I've maybe made it comfortable for me up here, but for the altos, for the tenors, and for the basses down here, I've put them in the cellar. I've put them in the part point where it is that they, well, the part's either going to be lost or it is that they're going to have to read something else. All right? Pitch pipe is going to say, this is where the song's written, and here's where it is that the songwriter wants it sung. Okay? The pitch pipe tells me this is the note that you need to blow or this is the note where you need to start. What I have there in just that little bit is a little bit of wiggle room. I'll say it's a step to about a step and a half. All of this is in that booklet. But I can lower that just a little bit, and still be okay. Okay? I can lower that to where it's more comfortable for me, and I can still be alright. Alright? I call this a congregational wheelhouse. That is, that where is the place where the congregation can absolutely knock it out of the park? And that is generally where the song is written to a step and a half on the pitch pipe. If you're looking at it, it's one letter, then one sharp, one flat, that letter right below it, and then one more sharp or flat underneath that. Again, it's all in the book, so you can take a look at that in your own time. You can get those little round pitch pipes. I don't know how many of y'all have seen them up close, but you can get them still at a music store. Straight Music over here sells them. They're about $15, $25, something like that. Generally, what you find more and more and more is that you have them on electronic devices, and they're free. For the Apple device, you can find iPitch pipe. I think it's 99 cents. All right, and what you're looking for is probably a C2C pitch pipe. And you can download, or actually, I think it's got both on there for just the 99 cents for the Apple. For Android, I think mine's just called Pitch Pipe. Pitch Pipe Free. So it's free, right? Just for a little bit of money, you can have a pitch pipe to be able to help you so that next time I come to a song and I say, okay, where's this song start? Let's see, it starts on a, I won't turn off my phone. Starts on a C. There's the pitch. Here we go. Alas, and did my save. And I'm ready to go. Okay? If you're uncomfortable doing that, if you're uncomfortable practicing with a pitch pipe, take it with you. Put it in your pocket. Carry it with you everywhere. And next time you hear somebody on the radio singing that note, okay, what was that note that he sang? No, that's not right. Okay, that must have been an F. What you're doing is you're training your ear to hear what it is that's on here. And sometimes you have to train your voice as well. You hear people sometimes talk about not being able to carry a tune in a bucket. You ever heard that? Somebody will come to me and say, oh, you don't want to hear me. I can't sing. Well, okay, why is that? 90% of the time, I would say, folks, is because that relationship has never been established. Let me give you a quick illustration of that just before we move on. Got this little remote here. I can put this little remote right down here on the podium. And I can look at that, and my eye says, okay, that remote's probably less than 36 inches away. And I don't have to take my hand and start feeling around for that remote. My hand and my eye have the relationship that I can just reach down and I can grab that. The ear and the voice have a relationship that's similar. The only difference is, maybe it is that relationship has never really been established. Maybe it is that somebody can hear something that's being sung, and I've never really related it to how that feels whenever I actually sing it. So thereby, you have somebody that says, sing this. Alas and it, alas and it. Okay, what do I need for that? I need somebody to help me and guide me to be able to say, okay, well, I need to make the second note a little bit higher and then start dropping them back down. Sometimes it is that there's a physical problem that needs to be corrected or that can't be addressed. But ultimately, folks, it's establishing a relationship. That pitch pipe is going to help you. All right, I promise you. If you carry it with you, it's going to make a difference. Another thing that's helpful to have is a metronome. A metronome. It is for the purpose of keeping time. This isn't my own personal practice. Maybe it is that I, as a song leader, my wife has told me I have a tendency to drag. And so I'll start out, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, right? But I'm listening to the congregation maybe too much, and by, the third or fourth measure, and did my Sovereign die. What's going to happen by the end, right? Would he devote? What a metronome does is it keeps that beat. It keeps that tempo, no matter what I'm doing. So in my practice, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. I want to get that thing banging in my head so that I can hear or I can feel that beat constantly. Please understand, I'm not advocating instrumental music. But in my own practices, I want you to understand that there are some helps for you. That is, if I have a tendency to slow down in my singing, grab a metronome, put it right about where I think that it needs to go. It has it in beats per minute, and again, you can find it free on the app stores if you want, or you can go back and get one of those classic ones, those little tickers, and maybe some of your mothers had on their piano, right? You can get one of those, and ultimately it's going to be your best friend if you're fluctuating on tempo, okay? Metronome. I want to keep that internal rhythmic pulse going so that I don't slow down as a song leader. Metronome is going to be able to help that. Conducting patterns. Taking just a minute to talk about conducting patterns. Why do I do this? Why is it that I wave my arm, ultimately, as somebody said? First reason I want you to understand is not necessarily for the congregation. The first reason I do that is for me personally. This helps me to keep that rhythm going. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. I do that because this is an added help. This is an added bonus for me to be able to keep that going. The second reason I do it is for the congregation. So that if it is that I'm looking back there at Brother Taylor and he's probably about 50 feet away from me, and maybe the sound is reaching him at a slower, it's not a slower speed, it's reaching him, it's taking a longer time to reach him than it is Sister Puckett right up here. I have this to try and keep us all together, okay? That's not a primary purpose. It is a purpose, but it's not a primary purpose. The third reason is that, folks, it helps in expression. If I take a song like, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son.
Song leaders, please, don't miss this. How would I preach that? How would I say that if that were one of the Psalms written? I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Right? Folks, expression of the Lord should not be as dry as stereo instructions. Okay? Please understand that. Built-in helps, like the rhythm, like the conducting, can help me to bring out the expressiveness of the text.
I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
You hear the pleading in the songwriter? Again, bring that out. If I can bring that out from the pulpit, and I can get people to hear that what I'm bringing out, that I'm pleading, the songwriter's voice is pleading through mine. I want that close relationship with my Savior. I need Him. If we can express that, folks, we can take the song service from adequate to something that's transformational, that helps one another to grow and to feel that more. Isn't that what you want from a song leader? Isn't that what you want from your Christian brothers and sisters? That you help us to sharpen us, to help us grow, to say, God, I need You that much. It's built in. You know, a preacher has to, you know, practice his fire and brimstone, right? Song leader's got that built in right there in your songbook. And you just bring it out. It's there. But the conducting pattern, if I know that in the four pattern, beats one and beats three are emphasized. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right? You've got this very strong beat. One and three and one and three. All of a sudden, I'm taking, again, just certain beats that the songwriter's written the important words on, and you'll find those important words on the strong beats, and you're emphasizing those, and it's a built-in help. The song I just mentioned, I Need Thee Every Hour. You've got the strong beat on beat one, and the leading beat, beat three, coming back into it.
Three, one, and two, and one. Three, one, three, one.
So when I get to that beat three and I come down hard on that beat one is going to be, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. That's beat one. That's built in. You add a little bit of help to it, boom, you're there. Right? And it's just that much more that will help bring out that expression and help folks in their worship. It's one of the tricks. It's already there. Conducting pattern. For me, for the congregation, knowing the congregation, we've got to hurry on some of these because we're running out of time. Knowing the congregation, maybe it is that your congregation is alto heavy, maybe it is that your bass heavy, maybe it is that you're alto lacking or bass lacking, right? And so you lead a song like Home of the Soul. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors no more, the rest of the souls will be given on the eternal shore. And all you have is, Home of the Soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Where are the altos? We don't have any, that's right. Okay? Consider that, especially when you're talking about programming and talking about adding those things in, or be prepared as a song leader to sing, step in and go,
Home of the soul, blessed kingdom of rest, right?
Know the congregation. An ability to ask for and accept criticism. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. That is Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5. One of my favorites, Ecclesiastes 7 verses 21 and 22. Don't take everything people say about you to heart. Blessed it is that you hear your servant cursing you, for how many times in your own heart have you known that you even cursed others? Ecclesiastes 21, 22, 7 verse 21, 22. Find somebody that's going to be honest with you, somebody that's going to be tactful as far as your song leading. You say, brother, how did I do on Anywhere with Jesus? Well, it was good. It started out strong, but ultimately you let it drag. Ultimately it was way too high. Ultimately it was way too low. Have you tried doing this? Somebody that'll be honest with you, that'll be tactful. Men, hopefully you can go to your wives and have her go, you know, well, honey, you need some work, right? And wives are great for that, honestly. Most people have an opinion about the song leader, but it takes us sometimes to have the courage to ask how it is that we can make it better. Let me leave you with the last one. Have an ability to laugh at yourself. I can't count anymore, gentlemen, the times that I've stood in the pulpit and maybe led the wrong verse. Said number two, and I led verse number three. I can't count on anymore how many times I've stood in the pulpit and had my voice crack. You know? It's okay. It happens. It happens. Kind of smile. Laugh at yourself. Give yourself permission to laugh. Don't broadcast that you made a mistake of any kind. Right? Go on with it. Sometimes preachers say something that maybe a little off, or they, face palm and say, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, you know, you just kind of say, okay, I'm going to resolve, try not to do that again, but if you do, well, just laugh at yourself. Mistakes are going to happen, so shrug them off and laugh at yourself. Building. How do I get better? Building and getting better, let me give you an idea, concentrating on one skill. If you're going to learn, conduct. Practice that conducting pattern. Practice that three pattern, that four pattern. Keep going until you can't get it wrong. I told you before, I've told my students before, that I would probably be a much better preacher if I could do this in the pulpit, because this is just so natural to me. I could, you know, get bigger for an emphasized point, but ultimately it's something I don't even have to think about anymore. Do this everywhere. Hold on to that steering wheel. Keep this one right here next to it so you can grab back on if you need to, but practice while you're driving. Practice while you're sitting there talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend on the telephone, right? Just practice. Here's the four pattern. Here's the three pattern. Here's the two pattern. Ultimately, the more comfortable you get with these, the less you're going to have to think about them whenever it comes to it. Practice on that. If you're going to talk about pitching, practice on pitching. But to practice that one skill and get it until you have it mastered, so you don't have to think about it, but just to do it. Don't try to add too much just too fast, otherwise you're going to get discouraged. All right? Don't add too much at one time. And then once you're done with that, repeat the process. Okay? Spend time. Keep practicing and ultimately take every opportunity you have to lead. Maybe it is that your Wednesday night song leader didn't show up. Now maybe it is that people are just kind of standing around going, okay, we can't start the devotional portion without our song leader. You be the one to step up and say, can I lead? Can you give me the opportunity? There's another opportunity for me to stand before the people of God. Never find a more forgiving audience, and so this is a great opportunity for me to do that. Okay? Some of y'all may not know what that is, right? That is a cassette tape. Inspection. Question I have to ask myself is what I used to listen to in high school. Self-assessment. You've got to listen to the tapes. Here are a couple of different checks for you to talk about improving as a song leader. Talk about tempo. Do I have that tempo? Too fast, too slow, just right? These are questions that you can ask of that person that's going to be your personal critic, right? How did I lead it? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What is the blood of Jesus? What do you think? Too fast, too slow, just right? All right, we're still with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but... What do you think? Too fast, too slow, just right? All right. So you know that there's an acceptable range to where we can sing this song and feel like we're progressing versus, you know, just turning the record player on fast and spinning like Alvin and Chipmunks, right? Okay. So again, that's the first question. How's the question of tempo? Question of announcement. Is it clear? Is it unmistakable? Are you able to inspire confidence in the people of God? Consider, just me getting up and stepping into the pulpit says a whole lot about the job that we're about to do. You ever thought about that? I'll give you an example.
Psalm 454. Psalm 454.
What do you think? Are we going to do some serious singing? Yes or no? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, but the odds are not high. Verses. Song number 454. Song number 454, Living for Jesus. What are your expectations? Let's do some serious singing.
Let's go.
Right? That's the idea. I'm going to extend my hand even from the very first time that I set foot in the pulpit. Even before I set foot in the pulpit. My purpose is to grab your hand and pull you up here so that we can glorify God together. Right? That's the responsibility of a song leader. That's a great help of the song leader. Okay? Announcement. Is it clear, unmistakable? Pitch. Too high, too low, just right. This may be one of those things that you have to ask a couple of different people. If you have a soprano with a really high voice and you lead it too high, she may say, no, that was great. You know, my high A came out. Right? If you lead it too low, one of the chief offenders would probably Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, because that's got a very, very narrow margin of success. Because at the chorus, you've got this nice building. And His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted. And His glory... Right? And you've got this big, nice, full E. But what you have to recognize is underneath it, you've got the basses and altos and sopranos down here. And the basses are... And His glory is... You're hurting me. Right? So the bass is that beautiful kind of... I talk about it like a Ferrari engine revving. You've got this... Bum, 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 right until the time when we're just going to step on the gas and go 80 miles an hour in 6 seconds, right? So you've got this very narrow window. And so what you may have is just a bass that you know sings bass really well and ask him and say, how was that song? Was that too high, too low, just right? And he'll say, well, yeah, that bass part kind of got lost. It was a little tad on the low side. So what you can do is say, okay, for the next time, if you have your own copy of the songbook, that was one of the things I didn't put in here, but it's in the book. Get your own copy of the songbook, visit with the elders and get one. So that way you can start making your own notes in your songbook on the songs so that you know what's going on and can repeat successes, all right, and minimize failures. Expression. Did the way that I lead help carry the text? Did I invite the congregation? How good of a job did I do holding my hand out there? All right, how good of a job did I do trying to express the beauty of the text that's written? Look at the songs in our songbooks, folks. They're beautiful. You know, it's people that have, it's a collection of works of people who have thought deeply about the Bible and thought deeply about their relationship with God. And you get the song, I love the Lord. He has been so good to me. And how it is that we can just sing that. I love the Lord, for He died my soul to save. On Calvary. Express. Emotion is not a bad word in worship. Emotion is something that needs to help carry our thoughts and our minds before the throne of God so we can offer our gifts to Him. Just realize that. All right? It's expression. And self-confidence. Is there excitement? Is there enjoyment? I want to get to the point where there is a sense of, I want to lead songs because I want to help people glorify God versus I'm going to lead songs because I was just asked to do it. They're regular song leaders out of town, and so they're just looking for somebody. I want a whole congregation full of men who are up there and ready to go and say, I'm going to do this because I recognize it glorifies God. It helps edify the brethren and ultimately helps the lost know that Christ is among us. Right? But how is that going to happen? Ultimately, it's repeating of the process. Individually, you as a song leader, establish good habits. Make sure that you're a blessing to whoever and wherever you are. But congregationally, do this. I kind of wonder about the congregation there in Corinth. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again going back to that same chapter, he says, "Whenever you come together, each one of you has a hymn. Each one of you has a psalm that you want to sing." Ever thought about that? Whole congregation full of people that are ready to go. You know, ready to sing these songs and to edify one another. But think about a skilled song leader. If you establish yourself as that, you have a responsibility to try and teach others. It's not just you standing up every Sunday, but take some time and use some of these things, use the rudiments of music book, and help train others to do the exact same thing. You can start with the little ones in the pews, encouraging the young ones, encouraging the little ones, the pew packers, the Wednesday night singings. That kind of investment doesn't come without a cost. And it may be the congregation spending some time to give those young ones a pat on the back and give them some encouragement. Don't just give them encouragement. Say, if you tried leading it just a little bit faster, I think you'll have it. I think that's it. There's ways that we can do this, and we can encourage and offer those kind of criticisms without being negative, without just trying to cut somebody's legs out from under them and make them feel like they didn't do a good job at all. That's needed. We need to help and invest in time to say, well, you led that song. It was great, but it was just a tad on the high side. Maybe bring it back down just a little bit. Continues with our young men. Encourage. But again, it continues with men who have desire, but maybe not the know-how. There are several good singing schools. There are singing camps as well, where men, young men, old men, young women who have the desire to be songwriters can go. And have you ever considered taking a congregation, maybe sponsoring one or two that have a great desire to lead, but maybe not the know-how? It'd be a great opportunity for somebody to go and to get the skills and the talent, so that again, we're taking the song service from here and we're bringing it up to here. All right. There's great opportunities, folks, and it's a difficult opportunity. It's a difficult thing to talk about, but hopefully, again, looking at some of these things together will give you some good ideas as to where to start.